This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:08 and this is the evening edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And as we just said, local restaurants are actually asking for their customers to order directly from them instead of through delivery services. And this is to avoid the big cut that these sorts of platforms end up taking from their profits.
So this is something we've been hearing about a lot anecdotally as it is. A lot of restaurants have been talking about it on their social media and so on. This is particularly, I think, clear in a report that came out in the Star today, where a number of food business owners have come out to talk about the challenges in using these delivery services. They talk about things like delivery services taking up to 35% out of every order. The fact that this is coupled with the MCO already lowering sales in general, and the fact that sharing profits at this point isn't really very easy. And of course, what they're urging as an alternative is to order directly from the restaurant. And essentially, that would mean that all they would do is use their own delivery service, which charges a much lower handling fee.
You know, I think that this is a tricky one to talk about, because for many customers, the convenience of ordering off of a food delivery platform is that everything is there. You are spoiled for choice. You can browse through according to category. You can, and you know that everything is centralized, right? So the delivery is going to be taken care of and so on. And the thing about going in the way that these restaurants are suggesting, which is to contact them directly, requires you to know who you want to support. And I think that for many of us, we may eat that way, but there's also a fair amount of moments and times where, you know what, you're just hungry and you just want to hop on a platform, look
and
for
browse.
And browse, you know, look for whoever is offering you free delivery at this moment in time. Or things like that. And with that said, I think it is so important to acknowledge that people have been having a hard time turning a profit. And so when you see that chunks like 30% are being taken out of that, it does make it, it does make it hard to reason even with yourself that you are supporting your local eateries when so much of their profit is being taken out.
So I think all of those things that you mentioned is exactly why a lot of businesses, despite that low profit margin, continue to stay on food delivery apps, right? Because they get placed on that browsing platform. They get highlighted in particular ways. They might catch the eye of customers who didn't know they existed. I mean, I certainly know that I've discovered places just by using a delivery app, and I didn't know they existed. But I think I think where a lot of this dissatisfaction is coming from is perhaps feeling like at a time that's already difficult, that these apps are not, these platforms rather, are not necessarily taking into account how narrow that profit margin has already become with no dine-in, and having to rely entirely on delivery services. The bulk of their orders will then have to take that 35% cut, which is a lot.
That's before we talk about needing to fork out more for packaging, for example, because now, of course, everybody is reliant on packaging. And the other thing, I suppose, while we're talking about that, about going directly to your eatery, to the nearby restaurant or whatever it may be, is that you are not participating in the environmental cost also of ordering from these platforms. Because while I know that a lot of restaurants are trying to do their best with more eco-friendly packaging and the like, the fact of the matter is that I doubt that my household is alone in accidentally amassing, strange amounts of plastic containers simply because you've ordered. And when you order, this is the only way that they're going to get it to you. So there's a lot of different things to consider. But I think first and foremost, we want to talk about this issue of money, right? And how some restaurants are trying to move away from the big delivery platforms because of this issue of how it eats into their profits. We'd like to know, how do you order your food? You know, have you been ordering directly from restaurants themselves, or have you been going via the platforms? If we're talking about, say, a percentage of the profit or the cut, how much are you actually willing to pay in terms of that surplus to these platforms and not necessarily to the restaurants themselves? weigh in, let us know. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we are going to be speaking with two F&B operators about this. Joining us will be Elin Tan, co-founder of the Brownies Bar, and Hannah Hassan, co-founder of Food Bay. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about how some local food outlets are asking for their customers to order directly from them instead of going through delivery services and platforms. And this is to avoid the big cut that they end up taking from the profits. We want to know, what are your thoughts on this? How have you been ordering your food? Have you been going directly to WhatsApp or, you know, message outlets and order that way? Or have you been going through platforms? What has it been like? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us to talk about this are two F&B operators. We have on the line with us Elin Tan, co-founder of the Brownies Bar, and Hannah Hassan, co-founder of Food Bay, both of which are signed on to food delivery platforms. Elin, Hannah, thank you both so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi.
Good, thank you.
So, Elin, maybe you could start us off by telling us about your reasons for using both a delivery platform as well as your own delivery to get food out to your customers.
Okay, so our sort of journey into the food platform actually goes back many, many years when we used to have something called Uber Eats. So they were the first sort of players in the market, and they sort of introduced, I think, the concept of food on demand. So you could literally order food from an app and it came to you within like half an hour at a minimal delivery fee. So that's how we actually started. So we were on that pioneer batch of Uber Eats. And then when the whole kerfuffle of Uber Eats buying over, Grab buying over Uber Eats, we moved along with them. So we've been actually sort of been with them for a while already. But as the years have gone by, we've come to realize that it's actually a double-edged sword for us. So as much as we appreciate the convenience of having the exposure for one, I think we've had a lot of people, that's how they've discovered us. There's also the sort of the logistical ease of not having to deal with riders on our own. And so we just need to prep the orders and then riders just come and pick it up. But at the same time, the other, the opposite end of it is they do take a pretty big commission off us. So, and for us, being a dessert provider, people don't need to eat us every day. They don't need to eat our desserts every day. And our products are actually, for single pieces especially, is under 10 ringgit. So you think about taking a big commission off that. I mean, that's all, that does hurt us eventually. So in order to counter that, we've also got our own sort of delivery platform. And recently, we sort of migrated to a WhatsApp-based sort of delivery platform. And we found that that actually makes it a little bit easier because I think customers are sort of liking the fact that they can talk to us directly. And these sort of new there's a new emergence of these sort of platforms coming up right now. And they take a much, much, much lower commission off us, but still with similar sort of services as well. So it also links to a delivery platform and things like that. And there's just a lot more options out there right now. But there's obviously some bigger players than others, which is why I guess most people go to those platforms first.
Mm. And it's interesting that we actually have two guests who are dealing with, I think, perhaps more niche sections of the food market. Yeah. Hannah, maybe you could tell us about Food Bay and, you know, your own decision to get on the delivery platforms.
So Food Bay, we started Food Bay from our home, pretty humble, last year, at the end of last year. And that time, what we sell is vegan food, mainly, but we veganize the comfort food that people love. So, like, it's not necessarily your healthy kind of salad vegan food. It's all the stuff you love, but just plant-based. So that's what we do. And we started off taking orders via WhatsApp, and it was good because, you mentioned, customers like it when they get to talk to you and we get to know them and it's easier to get feedback. People like that personal touch. But when you hit a certain number of orders, it becomes a bit hectic and you actually need to designate somebody fully on it. And that's like a whole person designated to just dealing with riders, talking to customers, and it takes a lot of time. So that's why we found it worth it. Okay, we have to explore these delivery platforms, even though they take a commission, which we didn't really want at first, but we had to go with it. So then we went on to Grab, Foodpanda, and a couple of others. And mainly the reason was to acquire new customers as well. And we wanted to supplement our income because they have a huge, huge customer base that cannot be underestimated. A lot of people have these apps and people just stumble across your shop that way. It's like being in a mall. And another important reason was the automation of taking orders and sorting the logistics for deliveries, because it's pretty hectic sorting the deliveries yourself.
So there is increasing criticism against these delivery providers because of that large cut they take from the food business's profits, and particularly at a time like this when all of these businesses are struggling as it is. Do you think this is fair criticism? Elin, maybe you can start us off.
It is, and it's something we've brought up as well with, for example, Grab. We have spoken to them, and you know, they always say, we understand, but I guess we'll just wait and see.
Hannah?
I think it's fair because restaurant margins aren't that very high, and especially now when restaurants, like their revenue is down, and it means a lot. All the profit means a lot. And a lot of restaurants, they were just made to cater mostly to dine-in, so they were not even expecting having to give up this much of their revenue, and then now it being all of their revenue. We also need to look for a sustainable way to serve our customers right now, because this is the only way that we can get to our customers, because dine-in is not allowed. And although I understand that delivery services, they are a business too, and they invest and they have staff and they have riders, we need to find a win-win situation for both, like, to exist together. You know, there are platforms that charge less, so I think it's definitely possible for them if they wanted to reduce the burden on restaurants.
Hannah, what do you think would be a fair or ideal percentage?
It's tough, but I would like to say something less than 10%. That would be fair to me.
Elin, would you like to weigh in on that?
That would be a dream. I think anything under 10% would be a dream, really.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be the case as well. You know, something that I wanted to pick up on is the fact that you both spoke about how you began or you have always included this element of talking directly to your customers, but also in some ways, when orders pick up, I think that that would be difficult to manage, and the convenience of the platform is what matters. So do you think right now that this call of appealing to customers to bypass platforms and order directly through a business is a good one? You know, in the long term, would this work for you? Elin, maybe we can start with you.
Yeah, it does. And like what Hannah said earlier, we actually do have a dedicated person now, and we're able to dedicate our personnel because our sales have dropped so much as a result of not having walk-ins and things like that. So now we're able to actually dedicate somebody to handle our WhatsApp orders. And like Hannah mentioned, it is actually logistically, it can get really complicated when many orders are coming in, especially if, like for us, especially during celebrations like our recent Father's Day or Mother's Day or Raya and things like that, the orders can get overwhelming, and we do need a dedicated person to manage this. But due to our drop in sales, we now sort of are able to dedicate a person. So, but in the long term, we might have to revisit this if orders keep increasing, because WhatsApp can be cumbersome after a while, but at the same time, for now, it's working great for us.
Hannah?
I wouldn't encourage customers to bypass the platforms just because of the benefits of having the automation and things like that, and even reporting, it's easier. But I would encourage them to go to the platforms that we would prefer them to, because of the lower commissions, and it's easier on our company, you know?
And I'd like to know, are there adjustments that you've had to make to sort of mitigate the losses that come from being on these delivery platforms? Hannah, maybe you can start.
We searched out other food delivery services that charge less. So we're on, I think, 4. So there are 2 that charge quite a lot, and then 1 that charge significantly less, and 1 that charges a monthly subscription. So we like to push our customers to go to the bottom 2. Yeah.
Elin?
Yeah, same with us. Although we do notice sometimes we do get some customers who say they first discovered us on a platform like Grab, and then decided that they'd come and look, sort of Google us, and found that we do take orders on our own. So sometimes we're really appreciative of customers who take the effort to do that, but we know that's not going to apply to everybody, though.
Mm. And something that, while we're talking about this issue of cost, what sorts of investments do business owners have to make to manage their own deliveries and also in general, I think, to move to a more delivery-based service as we've been seeing in the MCO? Hannah, what are your thoughts?
Investments that we have to make, well, lots of tablets. You need a lot of tablets. You need one for every delivery service so that you constantly have eyeballs on everything going on. You can't have any tabs closed. So tablets, that's definitely it. That's basically it, yeah, I think. And also investing in nice packaging, to add to a good customer experience because that's all they're experiencing besides the food, yeah.
Eileen, what do you think?
Hannah brought up a really good point. Packaging is something that we've actually had to invest more. Us being dessert-based, we are noticing that there are two types of customers for us. One is, I have a craving for a brownie. I want one now. And then two is, I want to send something nice to my friend. Do you have a nicer box? So these are two things that these are our two types of customers. So for us, the fact that for us to service those customers who just want a craving, that's fine. Our existing packaging works for them because they just want the brownie to get to them. But then we are sort of noticing an increase in food gifting, people wanting to send friends and family food. And with a platform like Grab, or which we can sort of arrange as well, we can almost do it on demand within the hour as well. But we're noticing that people are increasingly wanting nicer packaging. So perhaps it could mean a nicer box with a window on it, perhaps a satin ribbon on it, handwritten messages, candles, cake toppers, and things like that. So that's why we sort of had to change our sort of business model into sort of more gifting as opposed to satisfying cravings right now.
We do have a question here from a listener. Delma wants to know, does the discount that these delivery platforms offer, which are really very attractive, does it help or hurt food businesses? Hannah, you can start us off.
Well, the discounts that the platforms themselves put out that we're not aware of, they foot the bill for those. But the ones that we collaborate on together, we foot the bill for those. So that's a difference. But I think it's hard for the customer side. They don't know which is which.
Yeah. Eileen?
Yeah, that's a sort of, in a way, a hidden secret that the public don't know. Some of them are fully sponsored by these platforms. Some of them are co-funded. So we'll sponsor a certain part, and then the company sponsors the other part. But for us, we've noticed that on these platforms, if we don't do deals, our sales don't go up. So for us, we have to have some sort of discount or some sort of deal in order for us to sort of see more orders come in than usual.
Based on the conversations that we've been having with a lot of people in F&B, it is a constant question about whether or not to participate or whether or not to hop on these delivery platforms. And as two businesses that made that choice, I was wondering if you would like to share maybe some advice or some consideration that businesses should take into account before they decide to sign up with a platform. Eileen, what are your thoughts?
I'd like to put myself into the shoes of somebody who's maybe just starting as opposed to starting when we did. And I would say join it just for exposure, actually, because these platforms are able to show your brand and your food to a very, very big audience. And unfortunately, that's not something you can do on your own or grow organically as well. So in my opinion, you should, in a way, have it as well, but also have your own. So that's what I would recommend.
Hannah, would you agree?
Yeah, but also some of the considerations that they should look at is like the unit economics. They need to make sure that they cost this commission in, and also that they need to know that getting on a food delivery platform doesn't mean that you don't have to talk to your customers on other channels. You don't have to build that relationship, because that's not true. Because some businesses, they set up in cloud kitchens and then they just hop onto delivery platforms, but the customer doesn't really know you, and you don't really, you don't have that connection. They don't really know the brand. So you need to still build that relationship with your customers outside these food delivery platforms. They don't do everything for you.
Eileen, any message that you'd like to share with your customers?
Order from us directly, please. That's sort of a little reminder we always tell people, if possible. And as a small business owner myself, I try to do the same when I'm ordering food, because I like supporting fellow F&B businesses. And usually if I see something on a platform, I will actually take the time to go and Google. So I will definitely be wanting to order some vegan food from Hannah very, very soon. So I'll make sure I'll be ordering direct.
And Hannah, any messages?
If I could say anything, it's just if you really like a brand, you should get to know them on social media, and then you'd be able to find out which platforms they prefer their customers to order from. And yeah, just that, you know?
Lovely. Elin, Hannah, thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
That was Elin Tan, co-founder of the Brownies Bar, and Hannah Hassan, co-founder of Food Bay, talking to us really about the push and pull, the benefits and some of the pain points, I think, of being on delivery platforms. This is coming as increasingly local eateries are urging customers to order directly from them. We want to know, what do you do in this regard? Do you order directly? Do you use a platform? What have you found to be the pros and cons of it? WhatsApp 018-789 9889, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.